Welcome to Framework a Field.
Framework is a show consecrated to field recording and its use in composition. Field recording, phonography, the art of sound hunting. Open your ears and listen. Framework a Field is a new series of Framework special editions curated and produced by guest artists from around the world. A new edition is aired every second Wednesday at 1 p.m., alternating with our usual Framework broadcasts. For more information, you can contact us via email. Our email address is framework@talk21.com, or you can see our website at www.resonancefm.com/framework. This is the first of a special two-part edition of Framework a Field, produced by Tobias Luther in Berlin, and highlighting Rinus van Alabeek's Das Kleine Field Recording Festival, which took place there in February 2007. You can hear the second part of this edition next week, that's Wednesday the 7th of March, at 1 p.m. For more information, see Tobias Luther's website at www.radioincorrect.org.
Was ist das?
Das kleine Field Recordings Festival, Second Edition. Organized by Rinus van Alabeek. Date: February 4 to February 11, 2007. Place: several locations in Berlin, Germany. This summary is a production of RadioIncorrect.org by Tobias Luther.
I organized the first festival just at the spur of the moment, so it was like sitting on my bicycle, I don't know, walking around, and then just went plop, I do a festival, because I had the opportunities and I knew how easy it was in Berlin to get venues, and I was sure that I would find people who could do it. And then from one moment to the other, I thought, well, I'm not going to do it in one place, but I'm going to do it in several places. Don't ask me why, but it just came like that.
What does silence in the Brooklyn apartment sound like, and why is its recording best played loud? Are there sounds in everyday life we cannot hear? Is an unchanged sound always recognizable?
For doing this festival is to prove that there is life after the internet, which you should understand in the same way if there is life after death. Because up to now I only encounter these people on the computer screen, and this gives me the impression that, everyone is producing to have this thing on the computer instead of presenting it in a real lifetime situation. And I thought I should try to organize people who belong to this community and bring them together in an open space and try to take it one step further to make it grow in real life situations and not make it grow as an internet community.
What is a field recording? Field recordings are usually made outside of a studio. They focus on sounds that just happen to be there, be it nature, be it humans, be it technology. The recording technology may range from cheap cassette recorders, dictaphones, to more obscure ones such as the megaphone we heard at the very beginning of this program, or the high technology of a mobile hard disk recorder and specialized microphones. For almost all participants, this festival was a labor of love. The budget consisted of the audience's small entrance fee. At times the artists got little more money than to pay for a tram ride home and a coffee the next morning. Though the real outcome does not pay with money anyway. This was a rare meeting of international field recordists, and the festival presented a great variety of artistical approaches to the subject of field recording. And we were treated with ear-opening, interesting and sometimes even stunning presentations. The different evenings had different subjects attached, such as the day of imaginary homecoming, the day of sound storytelling, the day of travelogues, the day of archived sounds, and the day of Berlin soundscapes. Except from these themed packages, the artists were granted full artistic freedom. The only restriction was field recordings only, no sound synthesis, no additional sounds, as little processing as possible, as well as no music, unless it was inside the recording. The first longer excerpt I want to play for you is from the last night, the day of Berlin soundscapes. We all met at a studio called the Electronic Church. Outside there was icy rain, inside there were little heaters desperately trying to expel the cold. But after a short while of listening, we were completely absorbed by the beauty of the recordings we heard. Marcel Tchaikovsky was the only native Berlin resident who had brought his work, and he will do his introduction himself.
I actually just have to say one thing, and I have made a career, a big career as a flyer deliverer in the last years, and I'm doing really well. I can live from it, and I don't want to leave this job. It's wonderful, and I started to get bored after one day of doing it, so I decided to take recording materials with me to be able to record my boredom in a way. And and what happened is I don't know, like maybe 24 hours of recordings of the last 3 years, and I just selected some recordings, and I'm gonna try to build something listenable. Yeah. So, and we will see if my boredom is manifested. So happy listening to you all. Okay, how does it laptop start? Yeah, like this.
Thank you.
Marcel Turkowski on the day of Berlin Soundscapes. In this program, I am not presenting the individual days in their chronological order, but in an order that I believed makes sense for this program and represents the diversity of the festival. The following excerpt was heard on the day of Archived Sounds. Many people who record do archive the sounds. This does make perfect sense, but there is only one disadvantage. These sounds are locked away, are not available to the public. This day was to present them to the public, to get them out of the archives, and for many, me included, this day was the most interesting and most intense day of the whole festival. Most of the artists performed in the dark, often sitting on the floor, which created a very intimate atmosphere. Therefore, the second sound example I want to play for you is from this day. It's Lasse Mark-Rieck.
Ich wollte einen kleinen Auszug vorstellen aus einer Arbeit, wo ich mich beschäftige mit Stille und Lärm.
I want to present to you a short excerpt from a work in which I am occupied with silence and noise, with inside and outside, and chose churches as the subject of my study. The work is called Listening Space Church and is yet unfinished. I started it 4 or 5 years ago. At the beginning, I certainly did not know that I would be able to present this work to you. Last year, I started a series of lectures about this and was invited to present my work within different contexts. About this, I like best the diversity of the reactions.
Zu initiieren und bin eingeladen worden, das in verschiedenen Kontexten vorzustellen. Und das, was mir da am besten gefallen hat, war, dass die Reaktionen sehr unterschiedlich waren und sehr vielseitig. Ich habe mich jetzt doch entschieden, doch viel weniger dazu zu sagen, zu den einzelnen Aufnahmen. Somit, ja, erzähle ich kurz, wie das Konzept ist.
I have just decided not to talk much about each individual recording. Therefore, I will just give you an idea of the concept and name the churches, where they are and what happened during the recording. I started in autumn 2003 and you will hear recordings from the Netherlands, Bosnia, Germany and from France.
Aufnahmen sind zu hören aus Holland, aus Bosnien, aus Deutschland und aus Frankreich. In der St. Pauli Kirche in Hamburg.
St. Pauli Church, Hamburg, Germany, November 26, 2003 at 11:17 a.m.
Um 11:17 Uhr. Die St. Marienkirche in Rostock.
St. Mary's Church, Rostock, Germany, August 4, 2006, 3:40 p.m.
Um 15:40 Uhr.
That was an excerpt from the work by Lasse Mag-Riek. And now, Jeff Geburek. He performed twice, in the Monty during the day of sound storytelling and on the first day of the festival during the day of imaginary homecoming. The extract I want to play for you is from the homecoming day, recorded on the very first day of the festival at Wendel Club Café für gegenwärtige Musik. He presented us field recordings that are usually unhearable. He went to Berlin Alexanderplatz and recorded electromagnetic fields. After I heard his piece, I visited the place. With my own radio, I could pick up some of those electromagnetic fields too. Now, please do not confuse the Alexanderplatz today with its counterpart from the 1920s, immortalized in Döblin's famous novel of the same title. Today it bears the wounds of the German Democratic Republic's attempts to redevelop the city center in an allegedly socialist way. Today it is a concrete place. I felt it was uncomfortable and very windy. It is surrounded by the famous Fernsehturm, television tower, and many antennas for mobile telephony. So there are indeed plenty of electromagnetic fields.
Well, actually, for the Alexanderplatz recordings, those aren't sounds. Well, there are sounds that are everywhere, but they were only revealed. The sounds of the machines were only revealed through the medium of the radio. Those are sounds that the technicians who designed the machines have hidden from us. But they're there on a subconscious level for us. You know, so it takes like using a different device to translate them into audibility. So, yes, of course, we avoid them, but everybody hears the U-Bahn. You know, everybody hears this frequency. But not everybody hears the frequency and the little noises that their bank machine makes. And that's a little thinking machine, and it has a strange little life of its own. Well, I find that kind of interesting. It works for you. It's, you know.
He also did something unusual. During his performance, he reflected upon his artistic process and talked about recording.
I've chosen to do something a bit different than what I normally do. You don't know what I normally do. Who are you? Well, who am I? Either way, I've decided to break the silence of sound. The reason I make art is to bring myself to life. We attempt to achieve higher states of awareness. And when we do this publicly, physically, we bring other people with us on our journey. Lower consciousness also has its viewpoints we need to consider. Bringing myself to life concerns me with bringing myself to where I am. An anamnesis and an axis of location. And for the theme of imaginary homecoming, I must put myself in an ironic transition. So let's talk about New Mexico. Once my home, but not my only home, ever. Our man Thomas Ashcraft is out there in the desert recording solar flares with radio apparatus, bringing home the news of astral gases. The radio can be used to extend the perceptive field to encompass things normally unobservable. I ask myself often, what is the field of field recording? I want now to play an electromagnetic field recording.
But I wanted first to note that a field is something that we might describe as flatter than something that surrounds it. A variable geometry of sorts. Music is generally a question of the perceptions of certain kinds of peaks that compose a flatness. Field recording challenges this conception of music, subjecting it to a subversion or a more internal and microscopic view of peaks and a revelation of flatness as having ripples and features of form that temporarily create resonances, suggesting periodicity, and thusly retain vestigial features of musical shape.
That was Jeff Geburek with his recordings of electromagnetic fields of Berlin Alexanderplatz. And now, as usual with such evenings, we are off for a little intermission. This first part of the summary of Das Kleine Field Recordings Festival in Berlin, second edition, is closed by some field recordings of the Field Recordings Festival. What you're going to hear now are recordings from in between the performances. There we are, back at Das Kleine Field Recordings Festival from Berlin, Germany, second edition. This festival took place from February 4 to February 11 and presented various artistic approaches to field recording. What we last heard were some field recordings of a field recording festival, recordings from in between the performances. And still, this is a production of RadioIncorrect.org by Tobias Luther. We will continue our little summary with a very playful presentation. Harold Schellings from the Netherlands came to Berlin to do his Found Tapes exhibition. Harold collects thrown away cassette tapes wherever he finds one, which can make, for example, cycling with him a stop-and-go activity, as a reliable source claims. He restores these found tapes and uses them for his exhibitions and his Found Tapes public collection. He also uses tapes for his sonic work, and on the day of Berlin Soundscapes he did something that really amused the audience quite a bit.
Every evening after the concert I went with Trinus and we were on the bicycle, going from whatever place we were, and I was back on the back, trying to keep up. So this afternoon I went near the gallery where we are doing things, what Wien is organized, the found tapes, found sound, found recorders thing in the Wühlestraße. And I had my Sony MD player, and I had my, this one, dictaphone. And I recorded with both of them, the same, oh, the two. This has a very speed thing. So what I want to try is to keep up with, to try to keep up this one with this one. So it's like following Rinus on the bicycle, trying to keep up with Rinus. So I have to say, maybe I call it keeping up with Berlin. the same recording of the same stuff on two machines. So you could see this, I guess this has been done before. I mean, not talking about originality, but this sort of fluxive game, because, I mean, you can go out and do it yourself. Take two machines, record, and then play them and try to synchronize them. So the players will have to introduce them. Probably all is right, and we can have player number one introduce them. So try to, because there are different textures. It's the same recording, the same sounds, but they sound different. That one is in stereo, that one is in mono. That one is even lousier than that one. So I talk in terms of fidelity. So it was this afternoon, it was 5 o'clock, there was a lot of wind. It was cold. How about player number one?
And this is the spot where I'm going to start this little field recording. I will now whistle to synchronize the starting of the two recordings.
Okay, go!
And this is the spot where I'm going to start this little field recording. I will now whistle to synchronize the starting of the two recordings.
So now, theoretically, they're more or less in the same spot.
Did you put a cross where you start?
Huh?
Did you put a cross?
Of course not. Why should I put a cross where I start? It's funny. Ex-mathematician. Okay, so let's start the game. See if I can keep up with Berlin and with myself.
Un, deux, trois, quatre. Thank you.
Harold Schellings with his work Keeping Up with Berlin, recorded during the second edition of Das Kleine Field Recordings Festival in Berlin, Germany, at the venue The Electronic Church. He told me afterwards that his first attempt of keeping up did not succeed. This time, well, somewhat, yes. By the way, during the festival he constantly made field recordings of the field recording festival, recorded in between of the performances, as I did. He will put up a web stream with these sounds on his website, which is raudio.nl, that is raudio.nl. Stefan Leonhard played on the first night, on the day of Imaginary Homecoming. Both events with this headline were staged at Wendel Club Café für Gegenwärtige Musik, which gave us a very nice atmosphere and great field recordings from in between the performances. Stefan Leonhard played two pieces, one about Coney Island, New York, and another one about his apartment in Brooklyn, Crown Heights. He recorded the apartment's silence. Silence that is so silent that you almost cannot hear it. At first I asked him about his personal way of hearing the world.
I hear random compositions everywhere. It's very strange. Well, at first, a few years ago, I needed headphones and listened to field recordings and lots of experimental, adventurous music. And it was changing the world the way that I looked at it. But then at some point I could actually take those headphones off and it would do the same thing to me. I would see much more things. And when you're working as a visual artist and as a sound artist, then you're of course always interested in details and in small things, in little things that you usually won't see or that other people don't see. And then as an artist you sort of act like a medium sometimes, and that you present other people those moments that they might can't see, or they've already seen them but never really thought about them in a way that you did. And so I think I'm much more focused right now and look for more details. So that's the way how it changed for me, I guess, the most. And also, I mean, you're never really bored again, you know. If you're outside and you're waiting for a train and you look around and then pick up little moments with your eyes and then other things with your ears, and the world becomes much more interesting.
Stefan Leonhard with Brooklyn Crown Heights, recorded live during Das Kleine Field Recordings Festival Berlin, second edition.
Late summer 2005, and it's incredibly hot in Brooklyn. And I just moved to Crown Heights, which is in the middle of Brooklyn, and it's a Caribbean neighborhood. And I didn't have enough money to leave Brooklyn, what everyone else did. And so I basically stayed home because it was too hot to go outside. And also, this new neighborhood was very, very strange for me because it's a completely Caribbean neighborhood.
Is anybody recording that?
And I was basically the only white person around, and I've never experienced that before. And so I was a bit overwhelmed by all these new experiences. So I stayed home and recorded basically everything I found in my apartment. And I recorded underneath the heater, underneath my bed, and in the door. Way and basically everywhere. And I took all these recordings and tried to figure out if there's a sound in there somewhere. And so I processed them with different patches that I wrote in Maximus P. And I found sounds and then put them together to made a piece out of it. And this piece is actually 30 minutes long. I'm only going to play a 10-minute version. And here it comes.
The last piece I am going to play you in this part of the summary is from the day of sound storytelling, recorded at a cozy little pub called Monty. Imagine a nice lounge with an old sofa, old lamps everywhere, and beautiful photos of leaves on the walls. Kate Donovan realized a little play she brought on minidisc. She produced it together with Hans, whose actual name is Ryan. It is called Ryantown and is a day in a world with lots of Ryans. It came about as he had the idea lying around, and so off they went, recording all over Berlin, even from the inside of a postbox. He did the talking, she did the recording. Kate Donovan and Hans, Ryantown.
There's a channel just for gum shots. Everybody has something to do, even if it's doing nothing. And everybody has a different haircut and beard. We all get up at 11 a.m. unless somebody wants to sleep in. After we get up, we all eat breakfast together at a big table. Unless someone wants to have breakfast alone, and then no one minds or gets upset about that. For breakfast, we drink Earl Grey tea. And eat Cocoa Pops and crumpets with marmalade. Some of us have brioche and coffee. Some of us, the sporty ones, have fruit and juice. Almost always at breakfast, some will start to cry, but it's okay. And if sometimes they feel like they can't do it today, and that they need to go back to bed, then that's also okay. And usually, if they want, someone goes with them.
After breakfast, most people go to practice their favourite thing. About 20 Ryans spend the afternoon practising trumpet. About 20 Ryans spend the afternoon practising trumpet. About 20 Ryans spend the afternoon practicing trumpet. Several others make films to watch in the evenings, and a few are still dancing when all of the plays are written and films are edited and dances are choreographed. Other Ryans come to watch them, and no one ever criticizes them or suggests improvements. They are always just really pleased. There is a school of Ryanastic philosophy on the hill above the park, where around 100 Ryans go every day to talk about the nature of love, the size of everything, and why jam is so good. The School of Ryanastic Philosophy recently released their first statement.
What is this?
Destroying. What can we do? In a suburb to the south, near a rocky beach, where it's always very windy, you can watch Ryan's meditating. In the thousands, they are spinning like Sufis, or practicing tantra, eating ice cream with simple flavors, sitting on a noisy train. It goes around and around, looking out of the windows. Whenever the boys leave the Ryanistic school of philosophy, they go screaming down the hill on their bicycles and ride through the town to the meditation place. Then all of the Sufis let them sit in the middle and watch them while they dance. And after a while, quite often, the philosophers will get up and join in too, especially if they are playing funk.
Kate Donovan and Hans, Ryan Town, a play they realized walking around Berlin, recording everywhere. And that is the end of the second part of our little summary of Das Kleine Field Recordings Festival, Berlin, Germany, second edition. Here are some more field recordings from a field recordings festival. Sounds from between the performances. Thank you for listening.
You have been listening to the first of a special two-part edition of Framework Afield on Rinus van Allebeek's Das Kleine Field Recording Festival, which took place in Berlin in February 2007. You can hear the second part of this show next Wednesday, that's the 7th of March, at 1 p.m. You have been listening to Framework Afield. For more information, contact us at framework@talk21.com or see our website at www.resonancefm.com/framework. Thanks for listening.